We're going to be reading in the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, reading in verse number 40. Matthew 26 and 40. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. Ask you to help us this morning that we might be an able minister of the word of God, that you would speak to our hearts. And Father, to help us to speak the words that we each need to hear this morning. And you just work, I pray, come and have your way in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. Here in this text, it tells us, enter not into temptation. Enter not into temptation. Now, by definition, temptation is the act of tempting, enticing to evil by arguments, by some flattery, or by offer of some real or apparent good. Solicitation of the passions, enticements to evil proceeding from the prospect of pleasure or advantage. Temptations. We get tempted. And Jesus, in our text, he tells his disciples to enter not into temptation. Now, on the subject of evil and of temptation, St. Francis de Sales said this, Let the enemy rage at the gate. Let him knock, let him pound, let him scream, and let him howl. Let him do the worst. For we know for certain that he cannot enter our soul except by the door of our consent. Now, let's think about that for a minute. For we know that he can scream, he can pound, he can howl, he can do whatever, but he cannot enter our soul except by the door of our consent. Therefore, we read in our text what Jesus told the disciples. He told them to watch and pray that they enter not into temptation. That was important. Because when we think about consent, it is a yielding of our mind or our will to that which is proposed. A yielding of our mind or our will to that which is proposed. And can I tell you that there are a lot of things in this world today that are proposed. And Jesus said to the disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Because he told the disciples, he said, the Spirit indeed is willing. The Spirit is willing. But he said, but the flesh is weak. So he said, watch and pray. Now, temptation, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, we read these words in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, in verse number 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. By some means the tempter have tempted you. Temptation. The tempter and his tempting. We see this from the very beginning, this thing of temptation, of the tempter. We see it in Adam and Eve. He enticed Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. Sweet to the taste is that forbidden fruit. And she looked and she saw and she took. But temptation is much like the wine in the glass of the drunkard. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 23, in verse 31 and 32, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. How it starts out is not how it ends. One thing, it shows the glorious side, but it does not show the rotten side. Amen. The side that is no good. It has all the appearances of satisfaction. But death and destruction are in its lot. Satan had in his mind, when God asked him, had he considered his servant Job, Satan had in his mind to bring Job down to destruction, and in doing so to bring a black mark upon the name of God. For Job had trusted God, but Satan said, well, you know, if you just take your hand off of him, amen, and let me at him, he will curse you. But I tell you what was not in Job. The temptation came, even so much that his wife approached him with the thought of curse God and die. But that was not in Job's heart. To curse God was not there. And listen, we could say that the devil in the case of Job did exactly what we read, that he came to the door and he knocked and he pounded and he screamed and he did everything that he could to bring Job to a place that he would just curse God and die. But he didn't. Why didn't he? It was not in his heart to curse God and die. He didn't understand a lot of things that was going on. And I mean, there were some real struggles that Job had during that time of temptation. But to curse God, he said to his wife, you speak as one of the foolish women. It was not in him, in his heart, to curse God and to die. So temptations come. And you nor me can always exempt ourselves from the tempter. Where do they show up? When does it happen? What time? I mean, we know of different ones in Scripture that, I mean, temptations came and temptations come. But it's not the coming of the temptation. This is not the sin. Because the enemy may beat upon the door, but unless we give our consent, he cannot enter. Unless we give our consent, he cannot enter. Therefore, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. And so he says, enter not into temptation. In chapter 5 here of 1 Thessalonians, in verse number 22, it tells us this. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, in doing this, what are we doing? He said, enter not into temptation. Well, if we're going to enter not into temptation, then we need to abstain from all appearances of evil. Now, the Bible says that Paul spoke about being free and about things that he could do, but he also said that he didn't do everything because everything was not expedient. There were some things that he recognized that were just not expedient for him, and he didn't do those things. And the Bible tells us here to avoid not just evil, but it said avoid the appearance of evil. See, temptation not only has an act, which is sin. When we consent, when we let temptation in, amen, the act takes place, and therefore it is sin, but it also has a root. It has a root. And every one of us know about if you've pulled up something, tried to kill something, you know, and somebody said, well, let me tell you, you better get the root. Because if you don't get the root, it's coming back. You'll be dealing with it again. And temptation, when he says enter not into temptation, it's not just the act, but we need to deal with the root. For we should not only just hate the sin, but we should hate the root. You see, there's some folks that have said that they hate a certain sin, and they would think of themselves never to be caught in that way, you know, and boy, they would tell you in a moment that that is a gross sin, and they have no feelings, no desire to partake in that sin, in that vow. They're repulsed by that, and the very thought of them getting caught in that sin is repulsive to them. Yet, within themselves, there is that root of that very sin. And it's why Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. It's not just enough to hate the sin, but amen, God help us that we hate the root as well. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 6 and 27, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Many have tried to take that fire and to somehow escape the burning. But he said that cannot happen. You see, the root of any temptation, where does it lie? What is it that's going to bring us to a place when temptation comes and pounds on our door? What is it that's going to make us open the door and allow that thing to come in? It's not anything that's outside of ourselves. It's something that's in ourselves. Pray, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And there are some temptations that men and women can overcome more easily than others because, amen, their desires and their wants and the things are just totally different. Therefore, some things affect certain people in different ways. And Jesus said, you watch and you pray. James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. He's drawn away of what? Because of who his mom and daddy was? Because of the circumstances in his life? No. He's drawn away of his own desires, his own lust, and he's enticed. Men enter into temptation when they ponder and they give place to unholy thoughts and unholy actions. While we believe we would never commit such sins, and yet we keep alive that root, thinking that we will be able, no matter what happens, to keep it at bay, amen, we're mistaken. I believe with all my heart, if you'd asked David a year before what happened to him and you'd give him that scenario, he would have said, it'll never happen to me. But it did. Peter was adamant about the temptation that Christ warned him about Peter, you're going to deny me. Not me. Everybody else may. They may desert you and they walk off and leave you, but it won't be Peter. I'll die. But there was a root in there. It wasn't real big. Peter couldn't even recognize it. He didn't even see it. Jesus said, watch and pray. Because the mere thought of Peter denying his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to him was unthinkable. But yet, because he had a root that was in his heart, that old flesh was weak, circumstances dictated and circumstances got just right in his life, and he did the unthinkable. He did what he thought he would never do. How many men and women in this world have done things that they thought they would never do because, listen, circumstances happen to get just right. Things happen just right. And amen, and that very thing, that even the thing that they hated, they did. Enter not into temptation. A man may struggle to provide for his family as he wishes. Money's always tight and everything that happens always seems to be against him. But the one thing in life, he hates a thief. And he would never put himself in that position of a thief. He does not like somebody that'll steal and to break in and take those things. Yet within himself, there's a very small root of covetousness that is within him that desires to have things better, and not so much even for himself, but for his family. And one day, because of his job, it's discovered that he has an opportunity to increase his wage, increase the money that he has, amen, from his employer, and nobody will ever be the wiser. And in a moment of weakness, amen, he does that he actually hates in others. But see, once he does it, once he commits it, amen, he's trapped. He has done it. It's happened, and he cannot go back. He can repent, and amen, he can throw himself at the mercy of his employer, but he has done that thing as Peter did that he thought he would never do. Why? Where'd it come from? Nobody else made him do it. Nobody made Peter deny Christ. Nobody made David, amen, up on that rooftop and commit the acts that he did. That wasn't anybody twisting his arm. It didn't come from somewhere without. It came from somewhere within. And this is what Jesus knew about temptation. You don't do that because of something that's outside. As it was said by Francis Sale, the enemy can beat and knock and do all he wants, but the only way he gets in is by your consent. Amen. And listen, the only way that he's ever got into me is by my consent. We consent. David and many others no doubt would have never dreamed that they would have done such things, but they did. That root that needs mortifying, that needs killing. I mean, when somebody tells us, when we're trying to get rid of those old weeds, that thing, and they tell us, listen, you can do all you want to, but if you don't get the root, you can watch out. You better be vigilant because it's coming back. Jesus knew that there was roots that we had that needed dealing with, and he told the disciples, he said, watch and pray. We can turn to the book of Joshua and we see temptation. We see that he said, enter not into temptation. But we can look in the book of Joshua in chapter number 7. Joshua chapter number 7, and we can see a little bit of what happens just when temptation comes full circle. In Joshua chapter number 7, verse number 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Achan's sin is found out, and Achan confesses. He said, I have done that thing. You see, first Achan, he coveted those things. He saw them, and he coveted them. And so what did he do? He took them. He knew he wasn't supposed to. But he took them. And he went and he hid them in his tent. And this is what temptation does. It's subtle in the way that it works. But it'll spread before our eyes that Babylonian garment of favor and praise and honor. And then that silver of pleasure and profit with the golden satisfaction of this old flesh. And we look and we take as Achan did. And then guess what? Boom! The old enemy, the trap is sprung and we're caught in temptation. Jesus said, pray that you enter not into temptation. I'm reminded of David and in his situation, what he tried to do to conceal after the fact. It wasn't just the one act that he committed, but he went as so far as to have Uriah killed. And you know, and on a much less serious note, it reminds me of maybe of some of the things that we did when we was children. We knew we wasn't supposed to get into the cookie jar. You know, when mama was taking a nap or something when nobody was looking. But we did. We knew that there was a chance we was going to get caught, so what did? We tried to clean up the crumbs and wipe everything off the counter and make it so nobody would know and recognize. We was trying to conceal and hide, but you know, every once in a while something happened and, you know, we didn't mean to, but we didn't mean to drop that lid and get that chip in the corner. But boy, we did. Now what are we going to do? Well, we're going to turn it around to the backside and we're going to try to put it out of sight and make it so it's not obvious that somebody's been tampering with the cookie jar. Well, see, in a much more serious note, that's exactly what David did. And he rocked on in that situation and that far a number of months until the prophet Nathan come to him and spoke the words to him and he said, thou art the man. It's you. It's you. Now I'm thankful the Bible says that we have an advocate with the Father and that we can confess our sins, that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've already read James 1 and 14 that we're drawn away of our own lust. And then James 1 and 15, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And see, here's the thing. I honestly believe that everybody in here believes that this morning. Listen, not only from a Christian point of view and what the Bible tells us about it, but amen, we've looked and we've watched in life and we recognize that, amen, that these things that, boy, this happens. Things, you know, it may rock on for a little while and everything be okay, but we can just see a deteriorating in things. And when these kind of things happen, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. But you know what? Knowing these very facts, knowing full well that that's what happens, David still did what David did. Peter still did what Peter did. And I've still done what I've done through the years. The temptations, the times we've stumbled and failed. Why? Because we didn't heed the warnings that Jesus gave to the disciples. He said, watch and pray. Because see, how do we deal with temptation? I mean, verse 41 tells us there in Matthew chapter number 26, when Jesus said unto them in verse number 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. To watch is to be vigilant, to be awake and to be watchful, to keep on our guard, protecting against danger, and to pray, which is to just go to God, address God in reverence and ask God for His help and for His strength and for His guidance. So watch and pray. And what does that do? That puts us in a place of fellowship. And that's what we need. What do I need to keep me from the hour of temptation? I need to be in fellowship with God. That cookie jar I was talking about a while ago. Boy, I wouldn't have never, not one time, would I ever tried to sneak in there in the kitchen and get to the cookie jar if me and Mama was having a conversation and she said, stay away from the cookie jar. Amen. But it happens when we're apart, when I think that nobody's watching. That's when things, boy, it gets, the temptations come, and if that root's in there, it gets hard. So what do I need? I need to watch and pray. I need to pray daily. I need to read my Bible daily. I need to talk to God daily because, amen, no matter who we are, no matter where we are, the Spirit may be willing. And if you're a child of God, it is willing. It's willing to do what's right. It does not appreciate the thought of denying Christ and doing things that are against God and putting, amen, a black mark upon the name of Christ, but the flesh. Knowing everything that it knows about sin and the dangers of temptation and where they lead, the old flesh and the root that's there, it'll still, if left to itself, it'll still jump in. We may hold out for a while, but if not in fellowship with Christ, amen, temptation, Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not in to temptation. Watch and pray. Jesus returning to the disciples. How did he find them? He found them asleep. He found them asleep. How many times has Jesus come and where'd he find us? He found us asleep. We needed to be watching and praying. Their spirit was willing, but their flesh was weak. Now, we could condemn the disciples for their act that Jesus came back and we could look and we could say that I can't believe that they were sleeping on the job. But you know what I found out in life about my own self? God help me, but I sleep better than I pray. Amen. I sleep better than I pray. And my mind seems to wander better than it watches. Jesus told the disciples, he said, watch and pray. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? What are we watching? We're watching and praying that we enter not into temptation. Because it's a real danger. It's what the enemy desires, amen, to bring us into the place that we can fall into the trap. You know what Joseph did when he was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife came and tried to tempt him? Joseph said, how could I, and I'm paraphrasing, but how could I do this great evil? You know what he did? He fled, even so much so that he left his coat, his outer garment, as she grabbed him. He left there running. You know what we need to do sometimes with temptation? We need to leave there running. Amen. Some folks think that, well, you know what? I can walk this line right here and everything will be all right. No. The Bible says to avoid the very appearance of evil. Amen. I need to stay away. Amen. Where do I need to get? I'm going to tell you where I need to get. I need to get where God is because I recognize in me that this old flesh is weak. And even Paul said that in me there dwelleth no good thing. Talking about the flesh. What I need is I need God. I need His help. I need His strength because without Him on my own, I cannot do anything. But with Him, I can do anything. His help, His guidance. Jesus said to the disciples, and I say to us this morning, God help us. In 2024, when there's all kinds of proposals, all kinds of proposals, compromise on every hand. He said, enter not into temptation. He says, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. That's not any different for me and you in 2024 and all the things the old tempter has to try to tempt us and draw us away from God. If you would, stand with us this morning. If you have a need while we sing, you come if you have a need this morning.